That's a blessing. I had a good week at camp. It didn't rain one time. Amen. Amen. It was hard to know how to pack up without rain, but we managed. Amen. And might be the first time it didn't rain on us on Friday. But anyways, again, as I mentioned on Friday morning, I appreciate everyone that helped and sacrificed and gave and labored and was there. And it's been mentioned, but you just don't know the little thing you can do, a word said, an action shown. And these kids are going to grow up quick. Some of them are already grown up. They're just waiting on their brain to catch up before they can move on in life. Amen. And I'm telling you, it seemed like just yesterday I took Tim Clare as an 11 and 12-year-old junior boy to camp. Little short runt. Tim Clare, amen. Everything was small on him but his mouth. Amen. And that seemed like just yesterday, and look at him now, amen. And he was a big help to me this week, and that goes by quick. And I'm telling you, these kids are not going to be kids for long. And I think any time you get to invest time or money or effort into them is well worth it. It was good to have Elizabeth back at camp. She's not mad at us anymore. She came this year. Hope she doesn't skip any more years. It's good to have Casey at camp, amen. If I had an award for it and I didn't, he would have won the award for the most odd ways to go down a water slide. Amen. No, normally they went down on their backside or the belly. Not Casey. You know, he's going to go down sideways and on his, with his hands on his elbow and all kinds of. But he did it. Amen. Every way possible. And that was fun. And we watched Josh. You're not going to believe this, but we watched Josh attempt to carry Ben up that water slide hill. He made it about within 10 feet of the top, and then, yes, gravity took over. Amen. That's all I can say. There was, what, 5,000 points at stake or two? 5,000 points. I think I gave him 500 because I felt bad for him. Amen. You say, why? Do the math. Amen. But it was a great week. I got help this week. Amen. I was blessed, and I'm blessed, and not everything that people do is seen. There's people praying, giving, people doing. Some people only work when certain people are watching. Amen. I like the people who just do it. It doesn't matter who's watching, what they're doing. You can give them a bathroom to clean or to do it every day. You don't have to remind them to do it. It's not seen, but it needs to be. When it's not done, it's seen. Amen. And but anyways, I just think the Lord gave us a great week of camp. I appreciate the ability to do that. I had a good time. And we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3 today. I appreciate these young adults and just them being willing to help. Amen. And it's a blessing to have the church people come out. I wish one of these years we'd get everybody from church here for the week. Amen. That'd be awesome. It'd be great. The fellowship is good. And I know my kids had a great time, and it's always a good thing. And what I want to do, I'm not going to preach real long because I'm sure most of you are tired, amen. I mean, you take a week off, you come home tired, amen. Figure it out, this is not going to be a deep message. This is going to be a simple message. It's really for the young people here, and if somebody else can get some out of it, be a blessing. And one of the dangers, I think, or one of the things that concerns me is young people, they hear so much. I mean, we had revival back the end of May and into June, and you have camp, and we're having missions conference, and you have Sunday school, and you have devotions at school, and you have three services a week, and most of them get it from their parents at home, and they hear so much Bible preaching and verses and teaching, and they know it all, and in a way, they just sort of get inoculated to it, and they just get used to it. And I think Josh might have been the one said, just get used to coming to church to come and just doing everything. And it's, I'm not being critical, but we've gone to camp since 2008 here. And I've seen young people go to camp, make similar decisions year after year after year after year, which I'm glad they're making them. I'm glad God deals with them. But I think it'd be better if you could make a decision and keep it and grow and take that step forward and then get another thing down. I know it's hard though. The flesh fights you. We are flesh, amen, and there's things all of us have to deal with. But I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 14. The Bible says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you for saving me. Lord, I pray that you've been blessed already here today. I thank you again for the great week at camp you gave us and a good service this morning and the testimony time, the hearts that you spoke to. Lord, our prayer is that moving forward, Lord, that we'd be faithful in those things that you've spoken to us about. Help us not here today. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I really do. And pray for your anointing. Pray you bless your people. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So it says there in verse 14, continue thou. Paul's writing to Timothy, tells him to continue in the things which you've learned, you've been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And he knew him from a child in verse number 15. So Timothy was no stranger to the word of God. Even what Paul had given Timothy, he already had some knowledge of from his mother and from his grandmother. And he's telling him there in verse 14 to continue. In other words, to don't quit, don't forget, don't let it go by the wayside what you've heard. And as I already mentioned, it's a good thing to get help at camp, maybe in a meeting, maybe from a message. But if we don't continue in those things that we were helped in, then it doesn't do us as much good as it could do us as if we continue in. And all of us, unfortunately, there's things that God dealt with us about. And we went to the altar, we prayed, and we got something right or made a decision, whatever it was. And then there comes a time later on in our life where we look back and we realize we had not continued in that. And we had to get it right again or get right and get back to where we're supposed to be. And thank God for the times we make the decisions and then do continue. But unfortunately, it's not all the time. Many times, year after year, on a somewhat regular occurrence, we got to get help over the same thing over and over and over again. And I'm not trying to discourage you. If God deals with you, thank God for his long suffering and his mercy with us. But there's some things sometimes that we need to get some help, and it'd be good to continue in those things. Now, when you get something right or the Lord helps you and you do fall, we need to be humble and willing to get right about it. Even in the testimonies today, some of these things these young people mentioned, it's not the first time God dealt with them about that. But you know what they were? They were humble enough when God dealt with them again to go ahead and humble themselves and acknowledge that they had fallen, that they had maybe strayed, they had not kept what God dealt them again, and get right with God about it. You don't ever want to get hard towards the things of God. He says to continue in these things. In other words, don't let them slip away. Don't fall and fail in what God has dealt with you. Do not be we don't want to be a castaway. We do not, and we heard it this week, we do not want to be another illustration in a preacher's sermon. We do not want to grow up and just know how to walk the walk and talk the talk, but nothing down in our heart. How do we continue? That's what we'll look at here today. Just a few simple thoughts. Paul told Timothy, says, continue thou. How do we continue? How do we keep the decisions and maybe the promises we've made to God? How do we continue walking in the things that God showed us? I want you to go back to Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus chapter number 17. I realize that the Christian life, many people today, they want three easy steps or an easy formula. And there's not three easy steps really to anything in Christianity. And God moves in different ways and mysterious ways. And he takes each of us down different paths and different experiences. But and I'm not real big on all these how-to things, but I'm going to, in a way, preach a how-to message. I think sometimes young people, they hear good preaching, and sometimes they fail to make the connection on how to apply it. They believe it, they hear it, and they nod their head, but as far as applying it in their life, sometimes they struggle. I'm going to give you some simple thoughts here today, young people, for things that God spoke to you about, how to continue, how not to lose track in sight of what God did. Exodus 17, verse number 14. The first thing I want to say is whatever God dealt with you about, a decision you make, whatever you want to say about it, is write it down. Amen. Write it down. Exodus 17, verse 14. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Why did he tell them to write it? So they could remember it. Amen. Memorial, memory. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Now let me ask you, and I'm asking myself, if you're told something and you don't write it down, how many of you are likely to forget it? And I'm raising my hand, right? So what do you need to do? Write it down. Write it down. Young people, if you didn't already, you ought to take some time. You ought to sit down and meditate on what God dealt with you about. Not, and I'm not talking in general the message on this, but I'm saying if God spoke to you, and if you got something right, or you made a decision, or you got something settled with God, you need to write it down and write the date. Write down what God did for you. We're in Exodus. Look at Exodus chapter number 34. Exodus chapter number 34. Now, if you're like me, you need to remember what you wrote it down on. And we're going to get there in a minute, amen? But if you have multiple notebooks and pieces of paper, you need to make sure you know where and what you wrote it down on. Exodus chapter number 34, verse number 27, the Bible says this, "And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel." Just another verse. God told Moses, look, I want you to write it down. Why? When it's written down, it's hard to forget it when it's written down. I'll read your verse. You do not have to go there, but this comes out of the book of Isaiah chapter number 30. Isaiah chapter number 30 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever." In other words, the written word will what? It will last longer than your memory and my memory could last. And not as a way to be, to shame us, but I'm sure that all of us, there's something that in our, let's go back to our revival meeting, which was just what, a couple, 3 months ago. There's probably something that we got help with that we don't even remember today. You know why? Because we didn't write it down. There could be something in last week's message we got help with. And boy, it was really good and it helped us. And then a week later, we'd be hard-pressed to remember what it was. So listen, if God does something, you ought to write it down. And then young people, when you write it down, you need to make sure you go over your notes. Amen? And remember what it was that God did for you so you don't forget it, so that you can remember. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Maybe there's something that God spoke to you about doing. And if you don't remember what God wants you to do, how are you going to do what God wants you to do if you don't remember what it is that God spoke to you about doing? Look in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 1, a familiar passage here. He says this, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel." Now, hopefully that's what we did in this week and even this morning. And every time we come to church, hopefully we're hearing. We're opening our ears and our heart to hear. He says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it." It's not enough to hear. You have to also practice, observe to do it. Why? "That it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." What the idea you get there is God did not want them forgetting what he had told them. He wanted them to hear, but also remember. He wanted them to talk about it, whether they were laying down, getting up, going out at home. He wanted them to bind them on their fingers up between their eyes and write them down. He wanted them to remember. So we need to write them down. Now that, go to James chapter number 5. The second thing you need to do is you need to pray about them. So we write them down and really should keep them in your Bible, in your prayer list, wherever that might be. And pray about it. Things that God spoke to you about, decisions you made that maybe are going to be challenging at times to keep. And listen, you're not going to keep them on your own just by living in the flesh. Amen. So we need to pray about them. Look in James 5. This is a familiar verse. But the Bible says this in James 5, verse number 16. "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know what we need to do? We need to pray about them. Not only that, we need to get others to pray about them. The Bible does say there in that verse, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you know any righteous people? I'd get them to pray for you. Why? Because prayer avails much. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says this, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Go to Ephesians chapter number 6. And I'm only going to look at one more, but there's so many verses throughout the Word of God about prayer that we could look at. They're well known, but we need to pray. Pray over that which God spoke to you about. Look in Ephesians chapter number 6. In verse number 18, the Bible says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We ought to be praying. I'll just read this to you. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Would you not like to be faithful in those things that God dealt with you about? Let your requests be made known unto God. Ask God daily, faithfully, every day. Ask Him for help and strength to keep the decisions that you made. And then listen, when you don't, ask Him for forgiveness. Don't throw up your hands and quit and give up. Ask for forgiveness. When you fall, get up and hit it again. If you don't keep it, get up. Try again. Prayer avails much. We saw in James 5. Avail means to be a profit, to be of use or advantage. It's to your advantage to get people to pray for you, especially people that are righteous, people that are close to God. It's an advantage. It's to our profit to have others. Many times it's good to hear these testimonies and even tell others things that God spoke with you about. Some say, I would never do that. It's because you're proud. Amen. We all have problems. It's good. Confess your faults and tell others what God spoke to you about, and even ask somebody, say, hey, would you pray for me? God, I got this right, or I made this decision, or God dealt with me about this. Would you pray for me that I would keep this, that I would be faithful? And then that person can hold you accountable and ask you every once in a while, say, hey, you mentioned this. How you doing? Are you doing well? You keeping it? Have you slid back? And that's good accountability. So pray about it. Get others to pray about it with you. Ask others to pray. Look in Philippians chapter number 1, a verse about that. Get others to pray for you. Do you know that Paul prayed for others? You think these people were glad that Paul... Why would Paul pray for someone? Because he knew that they needed it. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 4. This is Paul. He says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. What did Paul do? He prayed for those at Philippi. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at another verse here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. About getting others to pray for you. Paul prayed for others. We need to pray for others. Amen. I think maybe it was Brother Tim mentioned about not just going through a list, but really seeking God on behalf of others. Amen. Philippians chapter number, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 1 is where we're going. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. You know, have you ever prayed for someone, not that you're proud about it, but as if your prayers is what's going to make the difference in your life? You know, I wonder if we really thought about that, as if it was our prayer that would make or break that situation, if we pray a little more fervent for somebody else. And I know it's easy to go down through a list and just name a name and listen. It's better not praying, but I'm telling you, effectual, fervent prayer. Fervent prayer is not, Lord, help Ben and help Daniel and help Mrs. Claire and help Brother Claire and help Charity and help Josh, help AJ. I mean, that's better than nothing, but I'm not sure that's fervent prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. The Bible says, ye also helping together. Hey, you want to help? How many of y'all want to help together here in the church? Amen. How? By prayer for us. Paul says, hey, you want to help? I need your help. Church, I need your help. What, Paul? He says, pray for us. Amen. So we can help by prayer. And then Acts, you don't have to go there. I'll just read this to you. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. You know the story in the beginning of chapter 12, they killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and they put Peter in prison, and he's next. But the Bible says this, when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. It says, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. In verse number 5, you know why Peter was delivered out of prison? Because the church prayed without ceasing, and God heard their prayers. So Paul prayed for others. The prayers of others got Peter out of prison. And as we read in James 5, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hey, you ought to have people praying for you. If you're not sure, ask them. Ask somebody to pray for you. And I'm sure, I know you've got people in this church that are praying for you. That's a blessing. So you need to write it down. You need to pray about it. You need to ask others to pray with you about it. And let me say, as we go to Psalms chapter number 61, the fourth thing I have written down here is eventually you got to perform it. You got to do it. I mean, it's good to write it down and it's good to pray about it. It's good to get others to pray about it. But if you just, if all you ever do is write it down and pray about it and get others to pray about with you about it, that's not good enough. If at some point you've got to do it. You've got to perform whatever it is that God dealt with you about. Psalm 61, verse number 8, the Bible says this. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Now listen, I don't know how serious you take it, but if you got things right with God or help from God, and maybe you made a vow, maybe you made a promise, maybe you just told God something you would do, well, God takes that serious. You know what we need to do is daily perform the vows. Whatever it is that God dealt with us about, eventually you've got to do it. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians, and hopefully already at Sunday you've already done whatever it is, or put into practice, or begun to accomplish whatever it is that God spoke to you about. You don't want to wait a couple days or a week or a couple weeks or a month. You want to right away, daily, begin to do whatever God dealt with you about. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse number 11, the Bible says, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, I understand this is talking about faith and faith promise given, but what I see is at camp with many of you young people, there was a readiness to will. When the preaching happened and God dealt with you, you were willing and ready to go to the altar and pray and get help and get things right. That's a blessing. But then he says, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. It's not just good enough to will to say, this is by God's grace what I'm going to do. You need to perform it. You need to perform whatever it is that God dealt with you about. Maybe it's about having a more fervent prayer life. Well, at some point, you need to pray more fervently. Maybe it's to get something out of the preaching. Well, at some point, you got to listen and get something. Maybe it's to get right with somebody. At some point, you got to put a foot out and take a step and do it. Amen. You can talk about what you're going to do. You can plan about what you're going to do. You can write about what you're going to do. You can talk to others about what you're going to do. But at some point, you know what you need to do? You need to put one foot in front of another and just go ahead and do and perform what God has told you to do. It's maybe a poor illustration, but we've had some skits at VBS and at camp, and then even some of the kids did skits, and I think they're great. And what you find out is that you can practice and practice and practice a skit, but at some point, you just got to do it. I mean, you can practice till cows come home, but until you do it, it's not going to do a whole lot of good. Amen. And what you're going to find out is usually when you go ahead and do it, it usually ends up going a little bit better than it ever did in practice. Amen. You just got to do it at some point. Look, go to Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter 1. Sometimes though what God deals with you about, it can be intimidating. It can seem hard, or you're just not sure how you're going to do it. Philippians chapter 1, well, you don't really have to do it. That's the blessing about it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what the Lord is trying to do in your life? You know why he spoke to you young people and us adults at camp? Because he's trying to do a work in our lives. When he saved us, he sure was glad to save us, but he didn't like the life that he saw. The image that he saw, who we were, that wasn't good enough for him. So he began on a lifelong, for us, a lifelong journey of changing us into the image of his dear son. And he wants to change us to be more like him. And so the work that's being done in us is not us sitting there and trying to work it up, saying, oh, I want, it's about what God is trying to do in you. And as you submit to God humbly and faith in God, you know what the Lord will do? He'll begin to work in your heart, thank God, that he performs. Allow Christ to work. We need to be willingness. There's a willingness, and then there's a performance. That's where many falter and fail, is in the performing of it. Many will promise, Many will make vows, some will even come to the altar, but it seems like so few will continue in those things and perform it. In Matthew 5, we're commanded to perform our vows. Be better not to vow than to vow a vow, not keep it. So we need to perform it at some point. We need to do it. And then let me give you the last point here. And this is important in the doing of it, is that you need to learn to walk in the Spirit. You need to learn to walk in the Spirit. The reason that we need to get right with God is because we weren't walking in the Spirit. Like those of us that had to maybe get right about having a grudge with someone, we did not develop that grudge while we were walking in the Spirit. Maybe those of us, whatever it was that you had to get right about this week, you didn't fall into or get into that sin or whatever it was, or that carnality, because you were walking in the Spirit. That comes from our flesh, from our deceitful heart. You need to learn to walk in the Spirit. And that's not, and you hear it preached a lot, it's not a mystical thing. It's about yielding to the Spirit of God. And it's yielding in your life, is starting your morning out with the Lord and making sure your sins are confessed. As you commit sins through the day, and this, young people, you do, you commit sins, you get a bad attitude, you say a sharp word, you don't do what you know you should do, you try to get, do as little as you can, you cut corners, you try to frame others for your trouble, you know, you sin, you're not honest, and as you sin, you need to get that sin confessed. It's best to confess it as you commit it would be good, but listen, every time you start your day, you need to make sure your heart's right with God. If you get up and you don't confess your sins and go on your way, God hadn't forgot about them. You may have swept them under the rug, but God hadn't swept them on the rug, and your fellowship is broken. And you can try to read your Bible and have unconfessed sin, and God's not going to speak to you. You can have unconfessed sin in your heart and go to church, and God's not going to speak to you. So every day you need to make sure your sins are confessed, that they're right with, that you are right with God, that if you sin, if you did something wrong, you need to make that right with God. And that's how you should start your day, and in the Word of God, and yielding yourself to what God wants in your heart. Listen, the Spirit of God dwells in all of us, but doesn't mean that He controls all of us. You know, in John chapter 3, the Bible says, Jesus said, "Marvel not that I send thee, ye must be born again." And then the Bible goes on to tell us how once we're saved, in Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 11, and 1 Corinthians 3, 16, that we become indwelt, or the Spirit of God comes and dwells inside of us. That happens at salvation. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God. Do you understand that? He moves into our heart and He dwells within. But just because the Spirit of God is dwelling in your heart does not mean He has full control of your life. So salvation is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. He comes and lives inside of us. That's at the new birth. When you get saved, you go from being a child of the devil to being a child of God. And the Spirit of God moves in, and He moves in to take over and to control your life. But you have to yield to Him for Him to control your life. The Bible says we're the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in us. We're to manifest God in our life. Many times our temple gets defiled by sin and worldliness and idols, and the Lord's temple, when He was here on earth, He said how you made a house of merchandise and a den of thieves, and idols and idolatry in the flesh can destroy the temple or defile the temple. So we're indwelt, but just because you're indwelt, just because you're saved, doesn't mean that you're controlled by the Spirit. And then you hear preachers speak about the filling of the Spirit. Well, it doesn't mean that they just got saved again. What they're really saying is that they're now controlled by the Spirit. You know, in John chapter 4 and John chapter 3, you have being born again. That's the indwelling. In John chapter 4, you have the woman at the well comes to the Lord, right? And she's wanting, He asks for a drink, and He tells her, you know the story, the back and forth. And the Lord told her, said, if you knew who it was talk to you, you'd ask Him for a drink. The water I give, you'll never thirst again. It'll be a well of water inside of you, springing up. It's sort of that sort of a picture of the Spirit of God. That's the infilling, or the filling of the Spirit of God. That's when the Spirit of God has control of your life, when you've yielded to Him. In other words, let's say the Lord dealt with you about holding a grudge, and you're yielded to the Spirit of God, and that person does you seemingly wrong again, or your expectations are not met again, and you want to hold that grudge again, but you don't, because the Spirit of God, that's not what the Spirit of God, He's about forgiveness and mercy and grace. and forbearance. And so you forgive that person even if it's just because they didn't meet your expectations, and you love them as Christ loved you. So you just yielded to the Spirit. So we need to be filled with the Spirit. That's how you walk in the Spirit. But you know what it takes to be filled? It takes a desire. Some Christians have no desire. They don't care. Too many are content to feed on the husks that the swine do eat, or the husks that the world has to offer. Too many are like Jeremiah 2. They've hewed them out cisterns that hold no water. Too many thirst for the wrong things in life. Wealth or pleasure or friends or the approval of man or power or the things of the world. It's like on a hot day, you go and you drink something sweet like a sweet tea or a soda. You know what that does not do? That does not quench your thirst. That's what the things of the world are. They appear as the sweet things, and yet you partake of them. They do not quench that thirst. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will quench that thirst. So He indwells us, and if we yield to Him, and if our heart is clean, you know what He'll do? He'll fill us. That means we're under the control of the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And you young people can be filled with the Spirit. If you will yield to the Spirit of God, if your heart and life will be right with God and your sins will be confessed, and you yield to the Spirit, that means you let Him guide you. And He guides you through the Word of God. The Spirit of God never contradicts the Word of God. That's the book He wrote. You can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, it can even get better than that. Look what the Bible says here in John chapter number 7. What we see there is we see an overflowing here in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7 and verse number 38, the Bible says, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. For this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Here he talks about the Spirit of God as a river. Your belly shall, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's no longer just that well inside of you that's blessing you and you're drinking from. Now it's being a blessing to others that are around you. You know, people who are not walking in the Spirit, they're not a blessing to those that are around you. But when you're filled with the Spirit of God, and it's like that, those rivers of water flowing out, you know what your life will be? It'll be a blessing to others. Others will be refreshed, and others will be helped, and others can get a drink, and others can be blessed from your life. That's what some were trying to do this week, is allow others to be blessed because of the overflow in their life. But before you get an overflow, you got to get full first. Boy, you talk about rivers. That's, man, what a vastness of supply, and that river flowing being a blessing to others. What hinders it when we're in the flesh? You young people, if you would walk in the Spirit and yield to the Spirit of God and keep the sin confessed and keep your account short, you know what you could do? Your life could be a blessing to others by walking in the Spirit. But too many are not interested in walking in the Spirit. Why? Because of selfishness and sin and whatever it might be. And listen, this is not like a four steps to Christian success. But I'm just saying, those of you that made decisions at camp, you ought to write it down so you don't forget it. You ought to pray about it. You ought to get others to pray with you about it. And at some point, you need to just go ahead and perform it. And in order to perform it faithfully and to honor God, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to walk in the Spirit. You cannot be in the flesh. And you're going to get in the flesh. You're never now, from now to time you go to heaven, stay in the Spirit. I know, I wish it were so. But you're going, when you do wrong, you need to keep a short account. You need to confess your sin. And not let that sin build up and build up and build up. And yield to God. Allow God to control you. You know what you can do? You can build and you can make some decisions and grow. We heard about adding graces in your life today. And you can grow as a Christian and go to camp next year. And it could be something else that God dealt with you about. Maybe you could look back at the last year and maybe there's this one decision that you made for God that God helped you continue in. You don't have to keep going back the same time. And listen, if you do, thank God for His mercy and grace. But we ought to continue in what we've heard. Amen. Let's pray.